From the House of Representatives, March 7. Mr. Vice President, the House did concur to Senate amendments on the following bills. Message number 248, House Bill 125, Wyoming Lottery Revenues, ayes 39, noes 21. Message number 244, concurrence passed. House Bill number 8, Stocking Revisions, ayes 52, noes 8. Message number 245, House Bill 70, Open Blockchain Tokens Exemptions, ayes 60. Message number 240, House Bill number 109, Public Employee Retirement Plan Contributions. The House failed to concur on Senate amendments to the House Bill 109, Public Employee Retirement Plan Contributions, ayes 8, noes 51, conflict 1. Message number 241, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with the like Committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to House Bill 109. The House conferees are Representative Wilson, Chairman, Representative Burkhart, Representative Flitner. The House requests the Senate appoint a Conference Committee number 1 to meet with a like Committee from the House to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both Houses. Message number 252, concurrence requested. Mr. President, the Senate File 101, Economic Diversification and Development, passed on third reading in an amended form. Ayes 50, noes 10. Conference requested, message number 246. Mr. President, on Senate File 19, Uniformity in Domestic Violence Law, the House respectfully requests the Senate to concur by adopting amendments, ayes 34, noes 26. Message number 252, concurrence requested. Mr. President, the Senate File 108, Economic Diversification and Development, passed the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 50, noes 10. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Message number 247. Mr. President, the following bills passed the House on third readings. Senate File 35, Military Service Relief Act, Additional Protections, ayes 40, noes 20. Message number 248, Senate File 60, Wyoming Women's Suffrage Pathway Highway Designation, ayes 55, noes 5. Message number 249, Senate File 63, Interfund Loan Accounts and Interest Rates, ayes 58, noes 2. Message number 250, Senate File 69, 2018 Large Project Funding, ayes 42, noes 18. Message number 251, Senate File 84, Motor Vehicle Registration Deployed Military Members, ayes 52, noes 8. Message number 253, Senate File 111, Property Taxation, Digital Currencies, ayes 60. Message number 254, Senate Joint Resolution 2, 150th Anniversary of the 1868 Treaty of Fort Laramie, ayes 59, noes 1. Signed, Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
Signing of enrolled acts. So we have a few more messages to read. Please do.
March 6, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 2, to whom is referred House Bill 140 engrossed, School Finance Amendments 4, respectfully report same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Hastert, and Landon. No, Senator Driscoll. Senator Burns, Chairman. March 6, 2018, Mr. President, Committee Number 5, to whom was referred House Bill 130 engrossed, State Fair Endowment, respectfully report same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Barnard, Emmerich, Hicks, Meyer, and Moniz. Senator Hicks, Chairman.
Signing of enrolled acts. Enrolled Act Number 21 being Original Senate File 31. Will the reading clerk please read?
Senate Enrolled Act Number 21 being Original Senate File 31, an act relating to veterans.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 21 being Original Senate File 31. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 22, having been original, Senate File 82.
Senate Enrolled Act 22, being original Senate File 82, an act relating to the Miners Hospital Board account.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 22, being original Senate File 82. I have so signed. Enrolled Act 23, having been original Senate File 27.
Senate Enrolled Act 23, being original Senate File 27, an act relating to excise taxes.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 23, being original Senate File 27. I have so signed. Enrolled Act 24, being original Senate File 81.
Senate Enrolled Act 24, being original Senate File 81, an act relating to game and fish.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 24, having been original Senate File 81. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 25, having been original Senate File 11.
Senate File 25, Senate Enrolled Act 25, being original Senate File 11, an act relating to public utilities.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act 25, having been original Senate File 11. I so signed. Enrolled Act number 26, having been original Senate File 90.
Senate Enrolled Act 26, being original Senate File 90, an act relating to the judiciary.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 26, having been original Senate File 90. I so signed. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 27, original Senate File 10.
Senate Enrolled Act 27, being original Senate File 10, an act relating to public utilities.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 27, having been original Senate File 10. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 28, having been original Senate File 41.
Senate Enrolled Act number 28, being original Senate File 41, an act relating to organ donation.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 28, having been original Senate File 41. I have so signed. House bills, Enrolled Act. Let me get turned right away. Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 1, having been Joint Resolution, House Joint Resolution 2.
House Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 1, being original House Joint Resolution 2, a joint resolution requesting Congress to enact legislation permitting Western states to enter into a voluntary compact to establish a graduated commercial driver's licensing program that would allow commercial drivers between 18 and 21 years of age to operate a commercial motor vehicle in a consenting contiguous state.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 1, having been original Joint Resolution, House Joint Resolution 2. I so signed. Enrolled Act Number 25, having been original House Bill 22.
House Enrolled Act number 25, being original House Bill 22, an act relating to state parks and historic sites.
I'm about to assign Enrolled Act number 25, having been original House Bill 22. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 24, having been original House Bill 126.
House Enrolled Act number 24, being original House Bill 126, an act relating to limited liability companies.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 24, having been original House Bill 126. I so signed. Enrolled Act number 23, having been original House Bill 2.
House Enrolled Act number 23, being original House Bill 2, an act relating to elections.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 23, having been original House Bill 2. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 22, having been original House Bill 101.
House Enrolled Act number 22, being original House Bill 101, an act relating to the Wyoming Business Corporations Act.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 22, having been original House Bill 101. I so have so signed. Enrolled Act 21, having been original House Bill 10.
House Enrolled Act number 21, being original House Bill 10, an act relating to workers' compensation.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 21, having been original House Bill 10. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 20, having been original House Bill 17.
House Enrolled Act number 20, being original House Bill 17, an act relating to child support.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 20, having been original House Bill 17. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 19, having been original House Bill 18.
House Enrolled Act number 19, being original House Bill 18, an act relating to labor and employment.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 19, having been original House Bill 18. I have so signed. Enrolled Act 18, having been original House Bill 32.
House Enrolled Act number 18, being original House Bill 32, an act relating to school finance.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 18, having been original House Bill 32. I have so signed. Enrolled Act 17, having been original House Bill 33.
House Enrolled Act number 17, being original House Bill 33, an act relating to school buildings and facilities.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 17, having been original House Bill 33. I have so signed. Enrolled Act 16, having been original House Bill 34.
House Enrolled Act number 16, being original House Bill 34, an act relating to title and registration.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 16, having been original House Bill 34. I have so signed. Enrolled Act 15, having been original House Bill 35.
House Enrolled Act number 15, being original House Bill 35, an act relating to insurance.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 15, having been original House Bill 35. I have so signed. Enrolled Act 14, having been original House Bill 77.
House Enrolled Act number 14, being original House Bill 77, an act relating to water.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 14 having been original House Bill 77. I have so signed. Enrolled Act 13 having been original House Bill 100.
House Enrolled Act Number 13 being original House Bill 100, an act relating to public health and safety.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 13 having been original House Bill 100. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 12 having been original House Bill 164.
House Enrolled Act Number 12 being original House Bill 164, an act relating to motor vehicles.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 12 having been original House Bill 164. I have so signed. Bills on second reading. It is only 10:30 a.m., isn't it? See, House Bill 26, second reading of the Senate, or House Bill.
House Bill 26, post-conviction relief.
House Bill 6, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 39. Yeah, point.
The House Bill 6, and that would be inaccurate.
House Bill 26, I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. Thank you for correcting me on that.
House Bill 39, engrossed, wildlife conservation license plates.
House Bill 39, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time, seeing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 42.
House Bill 42, engrossed, justice reform graduated sanctions.
House Bill 42, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, seeing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 53. Senator Coe.
Mr. Vice President, I would request that House Bill 53 be laid back for a day.
Seeing no objection, is so ordered. 53. House Bill 66. Laid back.
House Bill 66, purchase of water rights and facilities.
House Bill 66, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time, seeing no objections? It is so ordered. House Bill 69.
House Bill 69, impersonation through electronic means, spoofing.
House Bill 69 has an amendment. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move standing committee, or excuse me, second reading amendment.
Can we read it in, please?
Oh,
my fault.
Yes.
House Bill 69, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 5.
Sorry. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 69 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Yesterday I had a question about the language that you'll see on page 2, line 5, which says another actual person. In visiting with some of our staff, if we clarify and just use the definition of person that's already defined in existing statute to include things such as individuals, partnerships, corporations, joint stock companies, or any other association or entity, public or private. And so by you'll see the proposed amendment would delete the word another, and the word actual, so it would just add clarity. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Is there any further discussion on Senate second reading amendment number 1? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Second reading, Amendment 1 has passed the Senate. Back on the bill. Seeing no discussion on the bill, House Bill 69, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 84.
House Bill 84, engrossed. Approval of bridge designs, plans, and specifications.
House Bill 84, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Seeing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 86.
House Bill 86 engrossed, Medicaid birth cost recovery.
There is an amendment. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 86 and ask the body for favorable consideration. Mr. Vice President, I was in the chair yesterday, didn't have an opportunity to discuss this and ask a few questions, and so I'll have a couple of questions, but I did bring an amendment to try and address a difference between the way the bill reads and the way I felt the bill was explained, although I might have just misunderstood it when it was being explained, and that is with regard to the maximum recoverable amount. That amount is on page 7. And that's in the D paragraph, which talks about the maximum recoverable amount being the average of Medicaid deliveries in the state of Wyoming, including attorney's fees and other assessed fees. However, the discussion on page 5 and 6 talks about the capitation of what the limit to the recoverable amount is as opposed to the birth cost. And that is a portion of the birth costs. I know this is all confusing. We were all confused by it yesterday. I assume we're still confused by it. But that's what it says, Mr. Vice President. So low income, you would have 0% obligation of birth cost recovered, and then that goes up to 40% when you get to 400% of federal poverty level. So as I understood it yesterday, Mr. Vice President, those factors would be applied to the maximum recoverable fee that we see on D. So, for example, you would only pay 40% of the maximum birth cost, but that's not what the language says. So one scenario, as an example, would be, let's say that you had a very costly birth that we're looking at here, and it's $500,000 for the birth. That's possible, certainly, when you get NICU involved and you get other facilities involved. It can be a tremendous amount. The 10% we're looking at in Romanet 2 on page 6 would then be $50,000, and then that would be capped at whatever the annual average is, which we'll say is around $15,000. So that individual, despite only theoretically being on the hook for 10% of the birth costs, would still have to pay $15,000. I don't think that was the intent. This amendment fixes it so that you're paying a percentage of the state average instead of a percentage of this potentially very large number. If I'm wrong, and that was the intent, well, by all means, vote down the amendment. But I think, as it was explained, it's going to be a percentage of the average birth cost in the state. This amendment clarifies that you're still applying the percentages. And I'd ask the body for favorable consideration, Mr. Chairman, on the amendment. And I'd also like to ask a couple of questions, but we'll do the amendment first. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I have reservations about this amendment. The percentages are applied to the actual birth cost. So it's not the average birth cost, but the actual birth cost as the bill is written. If you look at page 6 carefully and look back at the birth cost definition, subparagraph D that's being amended by this amendment puts a limit on the total amount recoverable in any case, which is, and that limit is, with the language that's there right now, includes attorney's fees, shall not exceed the average birth cost. So the average birth cost sets a total ceiling. And, Mr. Chairman, I know it's a little confusing, but this amendment would substantially reduce the recovery, which is otherwise based on the actual birth cost and the various percentages of that. This subsection D that's being amended here is intended, so if you had an extraordinarily expensive cost, the most they could be stuck with is the statewide average birth cost. So the bill as it stands without the amendment, I think, provides adequate protections so the fathers aren't stuck with an impossibility. But the amendment would further reduce that, and I think Mr. Vice President would be at some risk of encouraging the current system where some of these people are really getting the state to pay for costs that all the rest of us incurs as part of our normal responsibilities. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else like to speak on second reading amendment number one? Seeing none. Sponsor for a second time.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, it sounds like it's written as intended in the original. I misunderstood it apparently yesterday in the explanation of what the intent was. So the concern I have then, Mr. Vice President, is this. The individual who makes $200,000 at federal poverty level is probably going to bring in around $20,000 a year of annual income. I think that's right around 200%, 22 for a single individual. This would mean that they're capped at $15,000 of medical fees, potentially, which is three-quarters of their annual income. And, Mr. Vice President, there's no way they can push that through their insurance. So the idea, for example, that this individual who, remember, we're imagining a wealthy individual who is trying to evade payments, even though they're between 200 and 250%, we're still imagining they're wealthy. They probably have insurance. If it were subject to their insurance, there is no way they would pay $15,000. We know that. But in this instance, they're going to end up paying $15,000 in cash when they make $22,000 in a year without the amendment. And I do understand going back, Senate, and trying to recover some costs, but I just can't imagine that's really the amount we want to get out of somebody who makes $22,000 a year. When we're imagining this scenario and when we're hearing about it, we're imagining the wealthy individual who is taking advantage of the system. This individual does not seem to be taking advantage of the system. And I'll have some more discussion about that really on the bill, but I'll stop there and call for the question on the amendment. It's a policy choice at this point. I understand now that we do have two clearly different positions. It was not a mistake. There's the choice between maxing it at $15,000 and maxing it at a portion of $15,000, which is graded based on the percentages. If you want the portional 10%, 20%, 30%, et cetera, then vote aye on this amendment. I think that's a lot more reasonable. But if not, if 15,000 cap is what the body wants, then vote no on the amendment. I think there's a clear distinction here, Mr. Vice President. I call for the question on that.
Thank you. We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 86. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
This amendment has failed. We're back on the bill. Senator Rothfuss.
No, Mr. President.
Senator Scott, sorry.
Mr. President, back on the bill, just to clear up one confusion. If you look at the definition of birth cost on page 2, lines 12 to 15, it's the birth cost directly connected to the pregnancy and paid by medical assistance. So it's the cost on the Medicaid schedule, which won't come close to the $15,000, I don't believe. Medicaid behaving as it normally does and paying only a fraction of things. I don't know what it actually is, and we probably ought to find that out, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Anyone else? Senator Rothfuss.
Mr. Vice President. On the bill, I have a few questions and still a few concerns that I couldn't raise in committee of the whole. We've been painted a picture of what this individual looks like, and this is a conspiracy that we're trying to solve, a conspiracy between a man and a woman who want to defraud the Medicaid system by not getting married. And this is a scenario or a piece of legislation that solves that scenario. And I think we can all probably agree that that's dodgy, we don't like that, and we want to do something to address it. But this doesn't explicitly say that's the scenario that we're looking at. The other scenario that's an alternative that's just as reasonable is two people meet one day, one of them leaves pregnant, the other one leaves, not to see this individual at any point. This individual, 9-ish months later, has a high-cost birth, 50,000, 500,000, let's just go with a large number. Why not? End up with NICU. It gets paid for by Medicaid. This individual over here has no idea that this birth took place. But we'll find out a few weeks later when this individual is asked who's the father. She responds, and now a phone call is made to this person who, again, is just finding out that they're a happy father who owes $15,000, which seems to be the max that we're talking about right here. When they didn't have an opportunity to run it through their own insurance, they didn't have an opportunity to make a decision, they probably won't have visitation rights, they're not going to be a father in any meaningful way, there's no intent of that, but paternity proves that out. And I'm concerned whether that is what the committee was looking at, so I'd ask that question, first of all. And, Mr. Chairman, the second question I have for the proponents of the legislation is, how are we really going to check this when paternity is in question in this instance? How will this actually play out if we don't know who the father is, but there are five likely candidates, for example, or four? Are we going to go out and do a series of tests to figure out which one of those individuals has the correct genetic makeup and perhaps ask for a contribution in each of those instances so that we can carry this policy out? Are we going to be that intrusive? And I don't know. I don't know whether this presupposes that or if we just happen to find out. But I think it's important to understand that. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm concerned with this legislation. I'm sorry we didn't have a chance to debate it as much in Committee of the Whole yesterday, but those are the concerns I just wanted to share with the Chamber. I'd appreciate hearing some feedback from the proponents of it, because I do have some concerns on the way this is structured. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Landon.
Mr. Vice President, thank you. I too, did not have an opportunity to even hear the debate on this bill. We were down the hall working on some other issues. But I did have a couple of questions. One of them goes to the area that the senator was talking about. I've had a little bit of background in this area as in the dean of students' office at a college up in the center part of the state. And quite honestly, there are situations where there isn't a very clear identification of this said father. And I had the same question. If this person is off in a state over in the central part of the country somewhere, what does the language on page 4 mean if it says that we're going to use any means necessary to go after the paternity of the child? I'm just having a little bit of a worry that this is one of those bills that comes out of the coffee shop that, by golly, we ought to go after these people. Well, sometimes we don't know who we're going after, and I'm not sure what that process or what this language means. So I could use a little help on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Senator Bouchard.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I think there's a lot of scary shadows coming out here, but the problem that isn't here is that they're already looking for the paternal. There's already a problem here where they're going, hey, where is the parent of this person that has to pay child support or has to pay? So those issues were already talked about in committee, and those things are dealt with. So I don't think it's as scary as everybody's making it out here. I think the problem with the people that were out here, I think the problem was they were like this. And so somebody's, instead of standing up, so I'm just using that prop there. The problem is that these people were out doing things, and somebody's responsible, and this is just going to make sure that the system isn't taking the brunt of it. Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak on the bill on 86? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
You know, I'm just looking at page three here. I do have some concerns that there's some time during the pregnancy that you could be searching for the child. It looks like we don't really have any notice until the department gets a bill for the amount of the birth costs. And so I don't know if there's any, I guess there's some due diligence maybe and some notification that should be earlier in the process, and I'm not sure whether or not that occurs or not, but if it doesn't, I think the concerns are well founded that perhaps earlier in the process that some of that stuff should be, put forth so you can find out things earlier.
Anyone else like to speak for the first time? Seeing none. Senator Scott, for your second time.
Mr. Vice President, and I'm going to elaborate on what a previous member of my committee said previously, but basically the way this bill is structured, we go through the existing child support process that is used to dealing with all these questions of establishing paternity. And the example was given, you have a one-night stand, and all of a sudden the guy finds out that he's a happy father with a bill. I don't think the birth recovery is going to be $15,000. I think it can be significantly less, but he's going to have that bill. He's also going to find out he owes child support until the child is 18. And we have gotten the various bugs out of that system. It works well on the interstate level. It works well within the state. The paternity tests are reliable. We can deal with the potential multiple father issues where we have several possible ones. The paternity tests settle that one in a hurry. It's a well-worked-out process, and believe you me, in most of the circumstances, the birth cost recovery is going to be the least of the father's problems. And yes, if some young guy goes out, has a one-night stand, and gets a lady pregnant, it is the long-established policy of this state and of the United States through the welfare reform that we are going to do our level best to collect that child support enforcement. And our agency here, Department of Family Services, is collecting 68% of those now, up from 13% when we started welfare reform. And the young men of this world, of this country, need to take warning. That can happen to you. You get into it voluntarily, it can happen to you. And that's, frankly, only fair. The burden for too long fell on women that were impoverished by the process and wound up in our welfare system. And part of the curing of the evil of the welfare system was to work this system out. In this bill, they very, very consciously crafted the bill to piggyback on that system because it works and it answers those questions. So, Mr. Vice President, I don't think that's a reason to be concerned with the bill. The question is, do you want the fathers to skate on this one and cost all the taxpayers more money, or do you want to have a system that says if you're going to have kids, you're going to be financially responsible, and there's not the incentive that there is now to simply not get married, and which is a much more beneficial thing for the kids to have both parents. So for all those reasons, Mr. Vice President, I urge you to continue to support this bill.
House Bill 86, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President, for my second time. Mr. Vice President, this is not a debate about child support and whether or not that's a good system. This is something entirely different. It's a new program. I suspect we all agree that the child support system is a good system, a necessary system, and has been effective and improving in its efficacy. If it were just about adding on to that, this would be a much simpler piece of legislation. It would simply say, if an individual is identified from paternity purposes and is paying child support, then they are responsible for some portion of the reimbursement of the Medicaid costs for the birth. That's about a one-pager. This calls out an entirely new structure with different obligations, different statutory requirements, different communication, and as the good senator from the eastern part of the state pointed out, there's no requirement for that to even happen at the beginning of the process. So one of the real flaws I see, Mr. Vice President, is, again, the way the system normally works is through insurance. If this person is going to be fiscally responsible, their insurance that they've been paying for should be allowed to be engaged in the payment for the birth. That's going to cover 80-ish percent, depends on what the amount is, but of the out-of-pocket expenses. That's a reasonable policy, too. But the idea that they're going to find out after the fact, probably as they're learning paternity and going to end up with child support, which, again, is something we can support, it'll be a price tag of, I'm suggesting, $15,000. Perhaps it is less than that. We have those reports available, so we'll find those out for a third reading. But again, the idea of the process here, even if the objective is sound, is unreasonable, potentially unnecessarily intrusive, and is creating a new bureaucracy where we have no assurance or guarantee that we're going to get a return on investment. So, Mr. Chairman, I remain concerned that this legislation isn't ready for prime time, and I'd urge the body to have caution.
Anyone else like to speak on House Bill 86? House Bill 86, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. House Bill 93, reading clerk.
House Bill 93, engrossed, speeding fine amendments 2.
There is an amendment, and it's Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, we were sitting back here in the corner trying to figure out how we can make this bill even simpler.
Hold on one second, Senator Meyer.
Read it in.
Please.
House Bill 93, second reading amendment number 1, to engrossed copy, page 5, line 6.
Mr. Vice President, I would move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 93, ask for the body's favorable consideration. So we're sitting back here trying to figure out how to make it simpler, and this, Mr. Vice President, does it. As you know, right now you're going down the road, you're fined, and then you have a computation that has to be made, and they've got this huge sheet that they carry around with them to figure out what it's going to be, and it's for every mile an hour over, it's a different price or a different cost. So what we tried to do was go right in the middle there on most of these fines so we wouldn't lose any money that would be going back to the schools and you'd still have your deterrent. And we started off with the base on each one of these, and then for construction zones we went twice as much, and for school zones we went three times as much. So that's essentially what it is. It's a double. And if you get caught, you're in trouble, Mr. Vice President. Double trouble. So we doubled up and tripled up on these guys. The one thing that I draw your attention to, and even though we went triple, if you look on the very last of that, and you're very welcome to consider deleting that one out or dividing it, is that does go down, and that's normally right at $1,000. It goes down to $480. I think this is I believe it might be the CDL rates or something like that. Not sure, Mr. Vice President, but that was the one that even though you tripled up on some of these things, that one actually did go down. The rest of them, I'd say, Mr. Vice President, they were
they're equal to or slightly a little bit above what the other rates were. But it's a lot simpler than what we've seen in a good number of years. And like to have some discussion. If there isn't any, like your vote.
Further discussion on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 93. Seeing none, all in favor of Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. If I read this right, folks, what this does is it actually raises the rate if you're a small violator and gives you a break if you're a bigger violator, and actually motivates people to run at the upper level of the range. Is that it, where you're hitting average in the middle of the park? Maybe we could have a little more discussion and work that in instead of just move it through. And the doubling and tripling, I think folks need to pay pretty close attention to the doubling and tripling. Those are pretty significant.
Anyone else like to speak on second reading amendment number 1 to Senator House Bill 93? Seeing none. Senator Anderson.
Yes, Mr. Vice President. I'm all for this amendment. We need to simplify it. We can't have policemen and patrolmen out on the road trying to do math to figure out how much your fine is. This simplifies it for them, simplifies it for us. Pass this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak before the sponsor takes his second turn? Senator Christensen, for your second turn.
Mr. Chairman, let's not be too spooked about these guys being able to read a bond schedule. They're not doing math out there. They pull out their sheet. It names the statute. It names the fine that goes with it, or the associated charges. They're not out there running their calculators on the side of the road in the wind. And beware of simplification.
For the second time, the sponsor.
Mr. Vice President, the reason this bill was brought because there was too many mistakes in the first place. And it went down to 9, I think, to 3, and we're actually simplifying it even more. Look at some of the, if you want to take a little time, Mr. Vice President, we haven't got that many up there. We can look at, let's look at page 6, right in the middle there, line 5. And right in this one here, Mr. Vice President, it looks like we went from 65 plus the base of 95 plus 5 miles per hour for each miles per hour in excess of 20. We just did a flat 160 there. So you have it actually, I think, is a bigger deterrent, because once you pop over and get to that high speed rate, you're hit almost like you're into the middle of the higher of it. So it's a larger deterrent than what we currently have in statute. And I think that's what the folks in law enforcement really want to have, is a larger deterrent and something that's simpler. And it's pretty simple to see. You see a lot of advertisement down in other states where, you know, like if you're in a construction zone, it's double. We just say that it's increased here. It's a pretty easy way to make people try to slow down in the construction zone, so the folks that are in there are safer. So I think it's a larger deterrent. It makes folks safer in school zones and in construction zones than they currently are. And I ask for your favorable vote.
Okay, we're voting on Senator Coe. If you really have something, I'll give Senator Meyer another shot.
Just so the body knows, I'm a feel in my class of people in this, I don't have a conflict of interest.
Do you want to answer that, Senator Meyer? Okay, we're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 93. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
This amendment has failed. House Bill 93, having been read 2 separate times, the question? Vision. All those in favor, please stand.
Come on. Come on, get loud.
Oh.
Was that division or diversion?
All those opposed, please stand. It's 6-23. It was close. House Bill 93, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 119, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 119, genetic information privacy.
House Bill 119, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? It is so ordered. Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 129.
House Bill 129, glider kit vehicles, title and registration.
House Bill 129, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Seeing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 144.
House Bill 144, Wyoming Invests Now Exemption Amendments.
House Bill 144, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Seeing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 156.
House Bill 156, State Songs.
There is an amendment. Senator Anderson, your name? Senator Anderson, would you like to address the second reading amendment number one?
Do you want to read that amendment in, Mr.
Please?
House Bill 156, second reading amendment number one, page one, line one.
Mr. Vice President, I move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 156 and ask for Senate favorable consideration. The discussion came up yesterday about these state songs, and we started talking about what should be a proper state song. And so we came up with quite a few people that do state songs. We were going to add Amy Smith and her sister, I believe it is, her sister Annie. And so we also thought, well, maybe we ought to do a Chris Ledoux song since he's kind of a Wyoming guy. So we called his wife, or his widow, and she picked the song. She and her boys picked the song that they would like to have as a state song, as Western Skies, which he wrote and he sang every concert. That was his last song at every concert. So that was a good one. We also came up with, Bighorn Mountain Blues by Jalon Crossland. Jalon. Oh, Jalon. Sure, it's old Jalon. Yeah, and then music by Isaac Hayden, When I Get to Wyoming, and words of music by Kip Attaway and Wild Western Wind Blown Band. Words and music by Sawmill Creek Band. Boy, we came up with what we like to call a soundscape. That's the next word we stuck in there was a soundscape. So this really made these state songs come alive from the 1906 one that we had before. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration of the amendment. Good little amendment.
Who else like to speak on second reading amendment number one to 156? Senator Driscoll.
Just say no.
Oh. Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. On and for this amendment, I'm on it because one particular song, which wasn't mentioned in that explanation, I find to be important. It is page 1, line 12, inserting Ragtime Cowboy Joe. Which, if we pass this amendment, I think we can all sing. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Anyone else like to speak on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 156? Senator Burns.
Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, I was wondering if we had checked with any of the living authors of any of these songs. For instance, Jalon Crossland lives in Ten Sleep, and his actually his most famous song is called Trailer Park Fire. And he'd probably be tickled, but I don't know about the rest of the state.
Anyone else like to speak on second reading? Senator Driscoll, for your second time.
Mr. President, I'd like to divide the amendment.
And where would your division like to be?
Division 1's lines 1 through 8. Division 2 is lines 10 through 22, or 10 through 19.
So, Senator Driscoll, if I get this correct, you're going to leave as Division 1, you're going to leave the last line, page 1, line 14, which is 19 through 22 on the amendment. Is that correct? You're going to leave that as Division 1?
Division 2. Doesn't matter. You can do them either way. We can call them how you want.
I think Division 1 needs, Division 1 would include 19 through 22 either way.
Correct.
Okay, got it. So Division 1 will be lines 1 through 8 on your amendment and lines 19 through 22. That's Division 1. Division 2 will be lines 9 through 18 on your amendment. We're on Division 1, I assume you want to speak to first.
He did on both. Mr. Chairman, you did leave 19 through 22 in both divisions.
Yes, both divisions.
So, speaking in favor of Division 1, this actually probably isn't the end of the world. Ragtime Cowboy Joe actually is pretty well accepted, and I think it fits in with it. We've got some questions on there, so I'd ask you to stand for Division 1, please.
Heard the conversation. Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, this is all good fun and all, but I want to ask one serious question, and that is, are there significant monetary implications in terms of royalties we might have to pay to any of these? That question, Mr. Vice President, applies to both divisions.
Thank you. Senator Scott. Senator Anderson.
Speaking on and for the first division of this good little bill, I think we found that a lot of the students at a university over here seem to think Ragtime Cowboy is a state song. So I think there's a lot of people in the state think that's our state song and do not know what the state song is. So for on and for this first division.
Question being called on the first division. We're voting on Division 1, lines 1 through 8, 19 through 22. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
It has passed. Division 1 has passed the Senate, so we're on division number 2, 9 through 18, and it would include 19 through 22 if need be. Question, Senator Ellis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for division 2. I don't have an answer for the tall senator from Natrona County, though I think that's a very legitimate concern, and also to be very serious about this, just looking at our Constitution. Article 3, Section 27 prohibits the legislature from passing local or special laws, and they enumerate a number of cases. We're not to be granting divorces or helping people change their name or providing all kinds of legal relief. And if you look at this amendment, it's a long one, but it concludes, Mr. Chairman, with this important statement that in all other cases where a general law can be made applicable, no special law shall be enacted. And so I think, you know, there are a number of people that are from Wyoming writing wonderful songs about Wyoming. So I think we need to either be very inclusive of all those artists or maybe not pushing legislation forward that would give special consideration to a very small universe of people. So I would encourage your adoption of Amendment 2, or Division 2.
We're on Division 2. Senator Burns.
Mr. Vice President, on and against Division 2. Adding all these songs, frankly, cheapens the other songs that would be the official state song in Wyoming. And if we managed with enough numbers to kill this portion of the amendment, maybe we can avoid having 10 more songs on third reading.
Anyone else like to speak on Division 2? Question being called on Division 2, lines 9 through 18, and we'll include 19 through 22 if this should pass. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
The chair is in doubt. Would those in favor, those voting aye in favor, would stand, please. Nine. Those opposed, please stand. Senator Kinski, are you standing? Okay. It is 9-20. That division fails. We're back on the bill. Anyone like to speak on the bill? Anyone like to sing? House Bill 156, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections? It is so ordered. House Bill 162.
House Bill 162, engrossed. Penitentiary Savings Fund Amendments.
House Bill 162, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, seeing no objections? It is so ordered. House Bill 170.
House Bill 170, engrossed. Wyoming Children's Fund Trust Fund Amendments.
House Bill 170, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, seeing no objections? It is so ordered. House Bill 172.
House Bill 172, engrossed. Produced Water Treatment.
House Bill 172, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read? Bill be read a third time, seeing no objections? It is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. Vice President, I do have a consent list. I move third and consent list, which is as follows: House Bill 14, Municipal Jurisdiction; House Bill 28, Education Reporting Children of Military Personnel; House Bill 29, Alternative School Accountability; House Bill 31, Hathaway Scholarship Application Deadline Extension; House Bill 41, Hemp Act Correct Revisions; House Bill 61, Roadside Waiver of Property Rights Prohibited; House Bill 99, Prescription Drug and Possession of FDA-Approved Drugs; House Bill 103, Wyoming Legal Tender Act; House Bill 106, Municipal Court Authority Conditional Suspension of Fines; House Bill 108, Estelle Reed; House Bill 117, Domestic Abuse Phone Numbers; House Bill 141, Concealed Weapons in Places of Worship; House Bill 157, Healthcare Provider Sexual Assault Protections 2; House Bill 192, Legislator Communications on Recordings and Broadcasts; House Joint Resolution 5, Yellowstone and Grand Teton Wildlife Conservation Fees.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, could you tell me if House Bill 108 was one of the consent list items?
Yes, House Bill 108, Domestic Abuse Phone Numbers, Estelle Reel is one of those.
Okay, thank you. Would anyone like any bills? Senator Case.
We need to remove House Bill 14, Mr. Vice President.
House Bill 14 has been removed. Anyone else like any of these bills removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 28, Education Reporting Children and Military Personnel; House Bill 29, Alternative School Accountability; House Bill 31, Hathaway Scholarship Application Deadline Extension; House Bill 41, Hemp Extract Revisions; House Bill 61, Roadside Waiver of Property Rights Prohibited; House Bill 99, Prescription and Possession of FDA Drugs, Approved Drugs; House Bill 103, Wyoming Legal Tender Act; House Bill 106, Municipal Court Authority Conditioning Suspension of Fines; House Bill 108, Estelle Reel; House Bill 117, Domestic Abuse Phone Numbers; House Bill 141, Concealed Weapons in Place of Worship; House Bill 153, Hathaway Expand Wyoming Scholarships; House Bill 157, House Bill 153 has not been, he's not on the consent list. House Bill 157, Healthcare Provided Sexual Assault Protection 2; House Bill 192, Legislator Communications on Recordings and Broadcasts; and House Joint Resolution 5, Yellowstone Grand Teton Wildlife Conservation Fees. Will the Chief Clerk please take the roll?
On the consent list, Agar.
Aye.
Anderson.
No.
On the consent list.
No.
Anderson, no. Anselmi Dalton? Aye. Baldwin? Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe? Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll? Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Bebout? Excused. On the consent list, 28 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. House Bill 28, are there any changes? Agar, aye to no.
Case, aye to no.
Case, aye to no.
Perkins, aye to no.
Bouchard, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 28. 24 aye, 5 no, 1 excused. House Bill 29, are there any changes? Agar, aye to no.
Case, aye to no.
Case, aye to no.
Bouchard, aye to no.
Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 29. 24 aye, 5 no, 1 excused.
Bebout aye.
It was closed. House Bill 31, are there any changes? Bebout? 31?
Aye.
Aye?
Agar,
aye to no.
Bouchard,
aye to no.
Perkins,
aye to no.
Case, aye to no.
Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 31, 25 aye, 5 no. House Bill 41, are there any changes? Closing vote. Bebout? Bebout
aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 41. 29 aye, 1 no. House Bill 61, are there any changes? Bebout?
Aye.
Bebout aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 61, 29 aye, 1 no. House Bill 99, are there any changes? Closing vote. Bebout aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 99, 29 aye, 1 no.
I'm sorry, I thought it was 103.
99? House Bill 103, are there any changes? Bebout?
Aye.
Bebout, aye.
Rothfuss,
aye to no. Rothfuss, aye to no. And Tommy Dalton, aye to no.
Case,
aye to no.
Hastert,
aye to no.
Emmerich,
aye to no. Anderson?
No to aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 103. 25 aye, 5 no. House Bill 106. Are there any changes? Bebout aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 106. 29 aye, 1 no. House Bill 108, are there any changes? Rothfuss, aye to no. Bebout?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. House Bill 108, 28 aye, 2 no. House Bill 117, are there any changes? Bebout?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. House Bill 117, 29 aye, 1 no. House Bill 141, are there any changes? Ellis, aye to no. Bebout, aye. Pappas, aye to no. Rothfuss, aye to no.
Von Bladern, aye to no.
Anselmi Dalton, aye to no. Von Bladern, aye to no.
Burns, aye to no.
Coe, aye to no. Emmerich, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 141, 21 aye, 9 no. House Bill 157, are there any changes? Bebout? 157?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. House Bill 157, 29 aye, 1 no. House Bill 192, are there any changes? Bebout, aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. House Bill 192, 29 aye, 1 no. House Joint Resolution 5, are there any changes? Bebout, aye. Scott, no. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. House Joint Resolution 5, 28 aye, 2 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 28, House Bill 29, House Bill 31, House Bill 41, House Bill 61, House Bill 99, House Bill 103, House Bill 106, House Bill 108, House Bill 117, House Bill 141, House Bill 157, House Bill 192, and House Joint Resolution 5 have passed the Senate. We are on House Bill 14. Will the reading clerk please read it in?
House Bill 14, engrossed, Municipal Jurisdiction, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to municipalities.
Senator Case?
Thank you very much, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I'd like to tell you a little bit about an update on this bill. I'm very strongly in favor of this bill, and I think I speak for my committee as well, but they can speak for themselves. But I represented to this committee of the whole that it was a result of a compromise between the association that represents cities and towns and the association that represents counties. Absolutely true, except for that one aspect. The cities and towns have pulled out of the compromise, and I've been informed by their director that they no longer support this compromise. Now, that being said, I've also heard from my own mayor and the mayor of the president's town, and both of them support the bill and the compromise. This has been 2 years in the making, and I think there might be a little bit of buyer's remorse, perhaps, on the part of the cities and towns, but I can represent to you that based on the communications I have seen, it's not universal. So we have the opportunity here to pass this bill along. We have friends down the hall that are going to take a look at it because we have changed it, of course, to represent the compromise that we had at the time. And I think that's an appropriate way to move this bill along. I will, with leeway, Mr. Vice President, there is another bill on municipal jurisdiction that's on our general file. It is a complete elimination of municipal jurisdiction outside of the boundaries. I don't think that's a good idea. I think this is a good balance.
Senator Case, could you still stay on 14.
I think 14 is a good idea. It represents a good balance between the interests of folks in rural areas and folks in municipalities. And so my preference is that we pass this bill along and that this is the only bill that we pass in this area. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you. Anybody else like to talk? Yes, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, very, very reluctantly on and for the bill. I don't think this is the compromise that we had hoped for. I am concerned that one of the two parties that we sought compromise from is not supporting it. I understand the concerns that they have for not supporting it, and I don't know if we've gotten where we need to be in this process. I hope the process continues because there still are concerns even after this legislation. My position was that if the two came together, I would support what they came together upon. I saw them as agreeing and am not really willing to support the idea that one of the parties is backing out. But there's an unfortunate incident that took place a couple of days ago back in my county, right outside of the city, that I just wanted to share as a reason for why we need this. We had a fire. Nobody was injured, fortunately. I'll start with that, which is a great outcome. But this was a third of a mile outside of the city limits where there was a development there, but they had water from the 1960s from the city. There were no fire hydrants. And city fire service were the ones that showed up because they were closest. But for the span of 10 minutes, as 10 homes burned, they laid hose back to the city fire hydrant while they watched these trailers burn. It was a threat to the city. They did have the opportunity, fortunately, to put it out, but there were total losses along the way. These are the types of real circumstances where the joint planning makes a difference, and the infrastructure does make a difference, and there are health and safety issues for those residents of the city due to developments that are proximal but not up to code with the municipality itself. The legislation we're about to pass does not remedy that concern. It provides a little bit of a boost, potentially, that they would cooperate, but we can certainly leave this type of situation in place right up until the next event happens, and hopefully there won't be any tragic loss of life in that event. We're not done with this process. We don't have it right, but on and for the bill.
Anyone else like to comment on House Bill 14? Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll? We're voting on House Bill 14, Municipal Jurisdiction.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger? Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. House Bill 14, 26 aye, 4 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 14 has passed the Senate. House Bill 36, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 36, move over requirement, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the regulation of traffic on highways.
Do we have an amendment? I think we do. Would the reading clerk please read that amendment in?
House Bill 36, third reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 3, line 17.
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 36 and ask the body for favorable consideration. We amended in standing committee this same language, but we only did it in one place. It needed to be done in a second place. This is a conforming amendment. I urge the body to adopt.
Further discussion? We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 36. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. We have another amendment. No, this is for the next bill. Having read three separate times, the question is, shall House Bill 36 pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar? No. Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmert?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercutt?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Plater?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote?
Agar, no to aye.
Agar, no to aye.
Okay.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. House Bill 36, 30 aye.
House Bill 36, having received affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected of the Senate, House Bill 36 has passed the Senate. House Bill 78, third reading of the House bill.
House Bill 78, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, sponsored by the Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects.
Okay, we have an amendment. Reading clerk, please read that third reading amendment in.
House Bill 78, third reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 4, line 6.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 78 and ask for your favorable consideration. This goes into page 4, lines 10 through 13, and deletes that entirely. This is the second place that I found the same language that we voted on yesterday, which said that they couldn't start. The sponsor shall not initiate construction of the project until Madison Wells, M11, and M12 have been approved for potable water production by the Department of Environmental Quality, and the word construction is not needed in the line. The line's already built. All the construction that they have to do is completed. What this would do is stop the small water districts and the subdivisions that have all been allowed to tie on to this from completing their tie-ins. That would be the only construction. So I ask for your favorable vote on this, and we'll get rid of that language again.
Further discussion, Senator Hicks.
Unfortunately, on and against the amendment, and this amendment was actually put on by the Wyoming Water Development Commission, and they took pretty extensive testimony on at the time as to why they did not want this to go forward until this issue had been resolved. I feel compelled that I think that was the right decision. We're talking about a $4.5 million expenditure with these projects. But that's why that was put on there, so you know where it came from. It did go through the Water Development Commission, and they discussed it at the time on and against the amendment.
Further discussion? Senator Don Flader for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. The reason that this language is in there, and it had to do with some issues with certain people that had an M11 and M12 wells. They wanted to slow the process down. We are putting it in, and DEQs on top of this. They're testing all the water. They're logging the wells. This language is not needed now that we've got people in action. M11 and M12 have been determined once they flow test them. They have never determined them to be potable. But unless they continue, unless the little water districts can continue their construction and be ready for this irrigation season, they'll never get it done for another year, and this language is unnecessary, and was put on there by a small group of people, I should say that, sir. It was not put on by public request.
Okay, I believe, yes, no, Senator Hicks, he's already spoken for a second time. Okay, as I understand, there's the money involved, so the Chief Clerk, please call the roll. We're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 78.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer? No. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott?
No.
Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Bumplater?
Aye.
Aye. Westerberger?
Aye.
President Bebout.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 78, 16 aye, 14 no. Amendment 1.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 78 has passed. We have another amendment. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
House Bill 78, third reading amendment number 2 to engrossed copy, delete the...
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, I move for third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 78. Folks, this amendment deals back with both of the prior amendments and projects, and I think we all know in this room, because it's gone on since the 80s, we have the Gillette-Madison pipeline that's originates in Cook County and travels through and furnishes water for various people, some in Cook County, but primarily in Campbell County across the line. Around 10,000 taps on this, so it's a major line. Runs through the middle of a number of landowners in Cook County. And we've had some problems up there that we've lost some water and things, don't know what's caused it. We're trying to get access to these folks so they can get water for their livestock and their ranches, and it also extends back in an issue of fairness. The state's invested around $160 million, not counting what Campbell County's put in, but the state of Wyoming has put $160 million into this pipeline and pump stations and assorted other things. It created a really interesting situation we've never seen in the state of Wyoming. We've got one county has literally possibly as much as $100 million, but many million, tens of millions of dollars of infrastructure lays in another county that the other county provides all the fire, law enforcement, homeland security, everything, and they provide it at no cost. There's no FILT money and there's no ability to tax. So it's left Cook County kind of left out of a really a big project. And this is kind of a way back for Wyoming to allow them to have some of their money be invested into Cook County and to right a wrong problem we've got, that we've got a number of houses and guys that can't water their cows or have water to their houses. So what this does comes in behind both of them, and I'm just going to read it to you and tell you how it works. It says the sponsor shall agree to allow for domestic livestock and miscellaneous water use as provided in this subdivision for applicants in Cook County applying for taps within a half mile of the Gillette-Madison pipeline and having legal access to the pipeline. Taps should be installed at the same cost fee as residential taps in the city of Gillette. Taps should be installed within 180 days of receipt of complete application and fees. Water use under this subdivision shall be billed at the lowest rate charged by the regional water system, regardless of use and location. And then the double I is apply for all necessary permits to allow for domestic livestock and miscellaneous use of Gillette-Madison pipeline water in Cook County. Folks, they don't allow livestock use, and probably for a good reason. It's what they wanted to do.
Cook County absolutely has to have it to make it work. That deals with the issue we have. So this allows it. It's not a huge number of taps, and it writes a lot of things and could potentially have a big impact for Wyoming. With that, I'd stand for questions. Ask for your favorable consideration.
Okay. Senator Wasterberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, the original agreement between Campbell County and the state on this prohibits or doesn't allow us to do these hookups for the ranchers. And so I know the sponsor of this amendment sits on the Select Water Committee, and to me it's something that should have been done there and then brought here, not a third reading amendment, after almost 6 years of working this project. So I don't know how we can do this. I guess we can through a third reading amendment, but I would ask the body to vote no. And go ahead.
Further discussion. Senator Von Flater.
Thank you, Mr. President. First of all, the permittee is the city of Gillette. So we're telling the city that they need to change their permit, which is fine. They possibly could apply, but this agreement signed in September of 2009, says that there shall be the loan and grants are subject to the following conditions regarding management of the completed project and for purposes other than the sponsor's municipal and rural domestic use as required. So that is what the only thing we can do it for. We can't feed livestock. And I really would doubt at $3 and some 1,000 gallons that would be pretty expensive cows when they fed them all off of tapping in. Plus, they have to pay the tap fee. Plus, they then have to run the lines from the pipeline over, which I would think very few would. We're also limiting this just to Crook County and not for the whole distance of the pipeline, which is another issue that we'd run into. The agreement with the state, the livestock watering is not allowed. The permittee is the city. And the new pipeline, the way we have it designed, is not going to run during the low time, especially all winter. So if these people tie into this pipeline during the winter, they won't have water. I mean, we unless we keep it running, which would be twice the cost of filling the old line, which is what we plan on doing, and then keeping the new line running enough for those people, the rural people in Crook County only, to have water. So with that, I'd ask that you defeat this amendment. It goes against the permits. We're telling a city they have to change the permits, and the guarantee, the agreement they signed with the state allowed them to borrow the money and to get granted some of the money to build this pipeline, does not allow for livestock watering, and that alone should be enough reason that we defeat this amendment.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Had this whole problem solved here at Select Water. Thought we had a deal in principle with the mayor of Gillette, in which we were going to take part of that overused money at $19, $20 million that's going to be coming back in reversions in a few years and take care of this problem. But folks, that's water on the bridge. What we're doing here now is that we're looking at a regional water supply. That's what we're doing. And we've got those up and down the state, and we try to do those wherever and whenever we can. And this is an emergency situation where wells have been dewatered, and they're so acidic that if you drank that water, you would die. That's what's happened at that aquifer up there, and I'm not overstating it one iota. Now, we don't know where the contamination has come from, whether it's from the acid that's been dumped down the wells for fracking, or whether it's from oil wells or something else. The DEQ is looking at this thing, and they're going to get to the bottom of it. But the main thing that we got to deal about today is that there's people in Wyoming, citizens, that don't have water. And we've got $145 million of the state's funds in this project. And, Mr. President, what it is that we're trying to get a regional solution to an emergency problem. Now, I think this is a good start on it. I do know one thing about these water systems is that you've got to have some water going through these big pipes all the time. They're going to They're going to get stagnated. You're going to have problems with having to rechlorinate, do a whole bunch of different things. So I'm not sure how they came across saying that we're going to shut these pipes off, and they're going to go into a situation where you're going to get a lot of bacteria coming in there, and you're going to have another problem. So I don't know about that operational part of it. Haven't heard of it the first time I heard of it. But I do know that this is a solution that will work, and it's a regional solution, and the state's got $145 million in it. And, folks, that's the state's money. It's not just one city's money, you know, and that we all work together in this state, and this is a regional solution. I hope you vote for this amendment.
Okay, anybody else before the sponsor speaks for a second time? Okay, Senator Wasserberger, for your second time.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I'm not real sure what I'm going to say, but early studies on this situation have been favorable that the city of Gillette has done nothing wrong. And to the regional water. And the second part is, when we first started this project, we offered taps all along the way to homes, but not to livestock. And they chose not to. And thirdly, those wells that are affected, there is a tap that they can load out at fairly close to their house within, I think, 2 miles. So I would ask you to vote no.
Further discussion. Senator Von Flader, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. The acid that they found, they had 100-foot wells, so they weren't even in the same formation. We're at about 2,800 feet deep, total depth. That's where the Madison lies, over in those hills. So they were at 100 feet, and the well went dry. The well would go probably dry on a series of drought years anyway, but it went dry on them. The acid that they, when they drilled another 100 feet, that's all they tried to do, they go to 200 feet, they found acid in their wells, and that. So we, of course, went through this whole testing, and it turned out that it's naturally occurring acid. It has nothing to do with the frack acid that was used in those water wells down below at 2,900 feet. So those people have since, the immediate ones, I can't talk about the other 50 wells, but the immediate area, those people have drilled another well and are feeding themselves on water. There is, as my good colleague said, there is taps at their properties if they are in that same area of the wells that we drilled. They are in a different formation completely. It has nothing to do, even when they went down 500 or 600 or 700 feet, they're still not anywhere near the Madison, and there is no communication between the two formations as of yet. We are relogging those wells. We will tell you if those logs go bad or if the logs come in wrong. We will re-cement. We will cut off the casing, whatever it takes. It'll cost a couple million more dollars. But we feel those wells are good, and the acid has been identified, and they have drilled their own well to feed themselves. So I don't know what this amendment's doing, but I hope we defeat it.
Okay. Nobody else? Senator Driscoll, for your second time.
Mr. President, thank you. Let's get a couple things really clear. I never said a single thing about somebody causing something or not causing something. We talked about a class of people that didn't have water. I didn't talk about what a cause or an effect was, either one. I'll deal a piece at a time with the other questions that have come up. As far as it not coming up to the Select Water Committee, it actually did come up to it, and they were willing to vote on it on this issue about livestock water, and it was talked about that we could actually handle it. I can tell you that the Director of Water Development is okay with this amendment. He thinks it's the right thing to provide access to affected landowners. So that's straight from him. I talked to him. I've been in contact with people as far as the permit and being able to change it. That's absolutely not true. It's a cost of $25 or $50. It's a co-permit, folks. The state of Wyoming is a co-permittee with the city of Gillette. So we can apply for miscellaneous certain livestock use either under the state of Wyoming or the city of Gillette or both. We can change our minds on what we want on any agreement we've done. You know, someone signs an agreement, we've done this many a time. Part of the argument got made for itself. Stood up and talked about why would you water livestock at high cost and talking about the costs. And that's absolutely the landowner's choice, one way or the other. I left Campbell County out of the livestock at their request. I visited with Campbell County. Their city manager specifically requested that there not be a livestock water allowed in Campbell County. I represent both counties. I honored that request. This is a regional water system. I guess probably the last deal I was going to talk about as far as wells going dry in the drought. Those wells are all 20, 30 years old and went dry in the acid one. They don't go dry in droughts. They went dry because of whatever reasons. And we're not going to go to pointing fingers on that. But the right thing to do is to provide water and make people whole. If you think that having a load out a mile or two from your house, imagine this, folks. Your water goes dry in Cheyenne or Laramie or Casper, and the city says, well, it's no big deal. We've got a load out a couple miles away. Just load up and haul your water in the middle of the winter to your house. Folks, let's do the right thing and vote yes.
Okay. We're voting on third reading amendment number two to House Bill 78. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no?
No.
That amendment has passed. Senator Burns, would you come up here, please? House Bill 78, having read three separate times, the question is, shall the House bill pass the Senate? Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard? Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe? Aye. Dockstetter? Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Hastert's on the return.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz? So
okay.
Moniz? Aye. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Platern?
No.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 78, 26 aye, 4 no.
House Bill 78, having received affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 78 has passed the Senate. House Bill 153, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 153, engrossed. Hathaway Expand Wyoming Scholarship, sponsored by Representative Harshman, an act relating to education.
Okay, we have an amendment. Reading clerk, please read that one in. Third reading amendment number one. 153.
House Bill 153, third reading amendment number one to engrossed copy, page 10, line 21.
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 153. Ask the body's favorable consideration. This is a cleanup of an error that we had from the committee of the whole amendment where we upped the amount that would be required in contribution from $5 million to $10 million. Remember, that was raising the threshold. There were two other places where we refer to $5 million in the account in a different section that leads to a little discontinuity. All three of them should be $10 million for it to read correctly, so this raises the amount in the other two places to conform with the Committee of the Whole Amendment. I hope the body will support it.
Okay, well, there's a dollar amount in here, so will Chief Clerk please call the roll. We're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 153.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
No.
No. Case? No. Christensen? Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercutt?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Watzberger?
Aye.
President Bebout?
No.
No. Meyer, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no.
Agar, aye
to no. Closing vote?
Bouchard,
aye to no. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. House Bill 153, 21 aye, 9 no.
Actually, that's third reading amendment number one rather than House Bill 153.
Sorry, yes.
Would you please restate that?
Yes. Third reading amendment to House Bill 153.
Okay. Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 153 has passed. Ready for the question on House Bill 153. House Bill 153. Having read three separate times, the question is, shall the House bill pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
No.
Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen? No. Coe?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Ellis?
No.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Kinski?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Moniz?
No.
Nethercutt?
No.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote. Baldwin. Aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 153, 13 aye, 17 no.
House Bill 153, having failed to receive the majority of the vote of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 153 has failed. House Bill 175. Third reading of the House bill.
House Bill 175, Common College Transcripts, sponsored by Representative Northrup, an act relating to community colleges and the University of Wyoming.
We do have an amendment, third reading amendment number one, to House Bill 175. Reading clerk, please read that in.
House Bill 175, third reading amendment number one, to engrossed copy, page 2, line 21.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, I'd move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 175, which is the Common College Transcripts. Staff brought this amendment to me, and it was actually an amendment that was in the House on the bill that somehow didn't get transposed over here. And it's just a reporting requirement. The University of Wyoming and Community College Commission, in cooperation, shall report not later than October 1st, 2018, to the Joint Education Interim Committee. That's all it does. It's just a cleanup from the way the bill came from the House.
Further discussion? There being none, we're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 175. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. House Bill 175, having read three separate times, the question is, shall the House bill pass the Senate?
You know what happened?
Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercutt?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger? Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. House Bill 175, 30, aye.
House Bill 175, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 175 has passed the Senate. Okay, the Conference Committee for Message Number 240 to House Bill 109, Public Employee Retirement Plan Contributions. The chair will be Senator Driscoll, Senators Landon, and Senator Hastert. The Senate will stand at ease to the sound of the gavel. It will be about 5 or 10 minutes.